Watches and whiskey. Do I have your attention? This is Jonathan Geller at D. Geller & Son Jewelers, and we're celebrating summer and Father's Day with something we've never done before. Next Saturday, June 8th, in all three D. Geller & Son showrooms, we'll have Atlanta's biggest and best selection of new and pre-owned Swiss watches under each of our roofs. And it gets better. With help from Old Fourth Distillery, we're providing complimentary whiskey tastings while you browse. It's next Saturday, June 8th, in all three D. Geller & Son showrooms, Atlanta, Kennesaw, and Sandy Springs. Learn more at dgeller.com.
This is a 680 The Fan podcast. To hear more live and local sports content like this, tune into 680 AM or 93.7 FM or download the Fan app.
Watches and whiskey. Do I have your attention? This is Jonathan Geller at D. Geller & Son Jewelers, and we're celebrating summer and Father's Day with something we've never done before. Next Saturday, June 8th, in all three D. Geller & Son showrooms, we'll have Atlanta's biggest and best selection of new and pre-owned Swiss watches under each of our roofs. And it gets better. With help from Old Fourth Distillery, we're providing complimentary whiskey tastings while you browse. It's next Saturday, June 8th, in all three D. Geller & Son showrooms, Atlanta, Kennesaw, and Sandy Springs. Learn more at dgeller.com.
Looking to escape the city for a unique and unforgettable getaway? Introducing Cloudland at Macklemore, a one-of-a-kind mountaintop hotel in the mountains of North Georgia. Conveniently located just hours from Atlanta, Nashville, Birmingham, and other southern cities. This new Curio Collection by Hilton Resort is a remarkable destination that's close by while feeling worlds away. Find relaxation and inspiration around every corner, like at our world-class Sela Spa, where you're invited to take a deep breath and rejuvenate with our expertly curated wellness therapies. Allow our various dining options to take you on a culinary journey where exquisite flavors, scenic beauty, and authentic hospitality are all on the menu. Immerse yourself in nature's stunning panoramic views on our two championship cliff edge golf courses designed by Bill Bergen and Reese Jones. Visit staycloudland.com or call 888-391-1148 to learn more.
W229 HE Atlanta, the most listened to sports station in the South. WCNN North Atlanta, a Dickey broadcasting station. The Fan, 680 and 93.7 FM.
Chuck and Chernoff are on the radio. Thanks for spending your Tuesday with us. I hope you do it each and every day, 2 to 6 on FM at 93.7. Doing the AM thing at 680 and, of course, on the 680 The Fan mobile app. And I hope you have your app tapped tonight for Braves-Cubs game 2. I hope you have it tapped tomorrow for the locker room. Morning 6 to 10. Then you'll move right into the Buck Belue show 10 to 11. And, of course, Chiellini and Domino 11 to 2. And then we're right back at you. The 4 o'clock hour of our show is presented by Entry Point Doors and Windows, Atlanta's local expert for entry doors and windows. They're Atlanta's best for a reason. Go to entrypointatlanta.com. for a free estimate. Chuck has got a college football today. We'll get to that coming up around the corner. What can we look forward to?
Credit UF for playing the newest game at truly the highest level possible.
Kirk Cousins had a chance to meet with the Atlanta media today during OTAs, and he said he took his new teammates, Darnell Mooney, Kyle Pitts, Drake London to Tampa with him to watch film and hang out with John Gruden. Apparently Gruden's been doing some consulting. You know, the consultants always there to help you to try to make the offense click a little bit sooner. So those guys have had some time together. Now, Kirk's new head coach, Raheem Morris, used a word that Chuck didn't seem to believe was accurate to what the plans are going to be in 2024.
Yeah, I think that he's going to have an eye-opening experience here. The word is flexibility. It's the same word he was all about in LA, flexibility, the way too many issues, that I said I've got with this, are the eight or so starters who aren't good enough to be flexible. Whenever you hear Raheem talking, I've got several quotes to share, and from his time in LA, pre-draft, after draft, all this. I kept noticing, remember, what was the word collaboration that they were all on? They got the talking notes that day.
We counted like 28 collaboratives.
Okay. I'll give Raheem credit. His flexibility, I don't say obsession. He's got a bend to him, all right? And it's about a player who can be in a lot of different positions so that you can change formations without getting caught necessarily in having to change personnel. That's huge if you can do it. Not everybody can. And here is the issue. When you're doing this with Leonard Floyd and Jalen Ramsey, flexible away, brother. When you got Terrell Lewis as like your fifth linebacker, okay, let's be flexible. It's not the same when you're doing it with Kentavious Streeter, Ebiketie. And that's really, if you look at him, everything he talks about, this was after drafting Rook. What do you want from Rook? Quote, what we value at the position is flexibility. We need the ability to move him around, to play him at the end, to play him at the nose tackle, to play him at that three technique. That's what we value, and that's what we want to do with Rook. I don't know if a third-round pick – I know where he was taken. I don't know if a third-round pick that doesn't really project to a pass rusher is what you're going to do there, but that's what he wants to be flexible with because it worked in L.A. He asked about, just in general, what he wants in a defensive back, and this was pre-draft about if you're going to, you know, if a draft pick. And he talked about any position you'd ask him about, but specifically with defensive backs, he says flexibility, the ability to play inside, some safety value, some nickel value. You want to see those guys being flexible. Okay. There are others. I can get 15 of them. The point is, when you have ballers like Jalen Ramsey, yeah, Jalen Ramsey do five things. Mm-hmm. I don't see a guy like that over here. I see A.J. Terrell, who honestly, really, really good corner. And I've talked about this. You need the alter ego ball hawk corner on the other side to really maximize A.J. Right now, A.J. is, he's a guy you put on the number one receiver and you can still throw on him because it doesn't turn into picks. So, like, I don't know, Matt, how you went into the draft and didn't dedicate anything, even in the offseason, even with free agency, you didn't add a single impactful starter to a defense that finished, like, I think, 17th or 18th in scoring defense.
No, but not even the scoring defense. I keep coming back to the DVOA number. That tells you the truth. You can make other numbers do whatever.
And you can run the ball on offense, sure, and cover up, sure.
But they were 24th in DVOA. And they were 31st the year before, and this was a choice, which I hope they're right, Chuck. I would love nothing more for Raheem midseason to take a victory lap and go, I know you all doubted this, but we drafted the three young guys, we plugged them right into the rotation, and we had our other guys. I hope it's right, but this was a choice they made that I just don't want to hear some spin on this midseason if they are a bottom third defense, because all they had to do, rework some contracts, bring in some other pieces, try to give them a fighter's chance defensively, and this was their choice.
Dallas Turner, you know what you do with him? He's flexible. All right, you have got choices with him. With a lot of the guys that you look at the Falcons too deep on defense, and again, coming off of what that team did last year, the fact that you didn't add a single impact starter on that side of the ball, like not one probably.
Nope.
Rook may work his way into the starter, but he kind of does the same thing as two of your best defensive players on the roster. Okay. So that's going to be something.
So you've got to hope Braylon Trice and Brandon Dorlus actually step in and play some significant snaps, and not just play them, actually give you stuff.
That Trice is like a 5.5 sack guy, and
whatever
I would look at that and go, okay, that's something maybe. It's shocking to me every time because he's talking recently. So every time you hear him talking, he says flexibility. Go Google Raheem Morris flexibility, and you will see all kinds of references to what he loves. He is so clear about that. He's just been doing it with a hell of a lot better players than he's got this season. So there may be a rude awakening for him in the midseason.
I remember what I told you. Last year they did it in L.A. with a bunch of young guys and sort of a no-name thing, and my fear was they thought they were going to try to do that again here and it would work, and maybe it will. Their biggest offseason acquisitions have been the third time around for Eddie Goldman, a guy who hadn't played in 3 years in Kevin King. Now, today they brought in a corner to look at him from Detroit. We'll see if they end up doing something with him. I think they'll add more, but there's not much in the way of impact left. Even if you wanted to bring back Bud Dupree, which I don't think they did, Bud just signed with the Chargers. Like, they haven't sounded like they wanted Bud back. I don't know if Calais wants to play, but they haven't sounded like they wanted Calais back. Not that those guys should be playing huge roles, but they could be a part of it.
When he starts talking again, flexibility, see so many quotes throughout since he got hired here, L.A., whatever. That's fine, but that's him talking about his scheme and what we're going to do as coaches, and that's great. But here's the truth about the NFL. I want to be okay with your scheme. Like, I just need to be okay with it. I need to really, really, really like your talent, if not even more than really, really like, and I just don't right now for the Falcons.
Here's the good news. When the schedule comes out tomorrow night, we'll know when the Falcons are going to Vegas. Yes, the Dirty Birds are going to Vegas, and so is Atlanta Sports Trips. When you get the date tomorrow night, We are going to have a full package available for you guys to join us in Vegas. We're partnering with our friends at True Fan Travel, and everything is taken care of. Flights, hotels, tailgate, game tickets, transportation around Sin City, food, drinks, all of it is going to be taken care of. Plus, we'll have a cool meet and greet with a former player. It's all happening whenever the Dirty Birds are in Vegas.
Vegas!
We will give you all the details once the schedule drops tomorrow night. You can go to atlsportstrips.com. We'll tell you more about our partners at True Fan Travel, who are going to be a part of this too. Schedule tomorrow night, Dirty Birds Vegas. It's going to be a big one.
Chuck Oliver's College Football Today.
Good to be the king.
Presented by Roof It Forward. When your roof needs to be repaired or replaced, call the roofing company that supports Camp Sunshine. Together, we can roof it forward.
I have said for a while that the coaches, the most successful coaches in college football right now, they are the head coaches who have set a program philosophy of, we are not worried about where the big picture is unfolding with name, image, likeness, or the transfer portal. That'll be for the future generations. In 2024, I'm going to try to load up. And so I remember hearing somebody, radio, media days or something, well, since it's legal, you should do it. And I remember thinking, no, a better way, while it's legal. Not since it's allowed. While it's allowed, you should take full advantage of it, because in particular, there is something I mentioned a couple of weeks ago, not scholarship limitations, roster caps, roster limitations are coming, and maybe 95 is thought. Some folks want 85, like however you get there, 85 maximum number of players you can have in a Division I program. Some folks have said, no, you got to have a walk-on program of some that's 95. Well, they'll work it out. What you won't have, for instance, is BYU, which I mentioned this after the season. The latest tally last year, they had 123 kids on full scholarship. They had the 85 that's allowed, and then I'll give them credit. They came up with the hustle. Coaches, if there is a player that you deem scholarship worthy, we will form a name, image, likeness deal specifically to cover every dollar that it will cost that kid to go to BYU. You have unlimited scholarships now, so they've been taking advantage of 123. That's going to get capped, but in the interim, while it's allowed, credit Billy Napier and UF, because what they have not done at a high level is the transfer portal or the name, image, likeness thing. And I mean, like, they've lost the portal. They're Florida, and they've lost the portal each year. Maybe not right now. They're out of scholarships. They're at 85. Florida has decided it's irrelevant. Let's do the Mormon thing. Cormani McClain, five-star recruit as a corner last year, a cornerback, state of Florida, went out to Colorado to play for Deion. I'll use the word that I think is the nice version for a lot of kids who have played for Deion so far. He had an uneven experience playing for Coach Prime. And so Cormani McClain is in the transfer portal. Now, one thing that you may get surprised by is he won't be listed as a scholarship athlete. If he comes to Florida, it will be as a walk-on. They're going to do the fully funded name, image, likeness thing now while it is allowable. And Cormani McClain would be a guy to step in right now. They had Marshall coming back, and he's played a lot. They had a couple of freshman defensive backs last year, Castell, and a couple of others that I really like. But this guy is a big-time talent. Just didn't work out for him out there. So he's looking for a home, and credit UF for getting creative.
Chuck Oliver's College Football Today, presented by Roof It Forward on the College Football Voice of the South, The Fan.
I know everybody's paying attention to all the other stuff going on. We got Falcons stuff and Hawks stuff and Braves. Tonight's Caitlin Clark debut night for the Indiana Fever. And you know the betting markets are paying attention? On the daily fantasy markets, Caitlin to go over 20.5 points in her WNBA debut, the most bet player prop today among both WNBA and NBA markets. It's a playoff night, and she is getting that much action because, again, the fame and the attention and the interest on Caitlin is still there in a very big way. All right, coming up next, this is one scenario Falcon fans, they don't want to consider at all.
If this team wins the Super Bowl, I'll do some acid.
I don't want any of us to consider that one. But history says we should not completely ignore it. I'll share it with you next.
Hey, let's get it now.
Chuck and Chernoff are on the radio with you guys. You just heard DT tell you we're getting times and dates. We already knew most dates, but we're getting specific kickoff times for college
football. Don't worry about the clock.
Sorry, Tiz. And for NFL games. which it's still, I'm right there with everybody. There's something exciting for us knowing the time now. We knew the date, but now we know Georgia Clemson's at noon on August 31st. Georgia Tech and Florida State, they're at noon on August 24th. We got a bunch of other games coming out for college football with times and channels and all that on the eve of the NFL also doing the same. So we'll have a busy time over the next couple of days. Here's what you guys need to remember. Chuck and Chernoff till 6. Braves baseball to follow. You'll get all of it on The Fan and The Fan mobile app, including the Ford Leadoff Show and then First Pitch coming up at 7:20. Have your app downloaded and tapped and ready.
Will not rain tonight.
Guaranteed.
So
no, if Kevin McAlpin's listening and worried, you have nothing to worry about.
No.
Mush. But just in case, you know the Rain Delay Show is always there for you.
Bone dry, bone dry.
All right, coming up, Chuck has something that he's considering that may drive the Braves' entire trade deadline. He'll tell you about that coming up in about 5 minutes. But first, I told you there's a scenario that I know Falcon fans don't want to think about. It's something I don't want to consider, but history tells us that we at least have to pay attention to it. There is a world where Michael Penix is not good. There is a world where Michael Penix at best is average. Like those two worlds, they do exist. Our buddy Brent Rollins from UGASports.com sent me a tweet that he'd sent out. He was listening to the show yesterday, and we were talking about Penix, and he had some numbers that I thought we could discuss, and I thought they were relevant. Since 1999, there have been 8 NFL drafts with at least 4 quarterbacks taken in the first round. So that's 25 years of data. 8 drafts with at least 4 quarterbacks taken in round 1. This season included, Michael Penix was QB4 taken in the draft. So here we go. Let's look back at other quarterbacks who came off the board 4th in those specific drafts. For instance, Justin Fields was the 4th quarterback off the board in that draft. I believe that was 2021. He's on to his second team, and his career has been so far just kind of blah. Jordan Love was the 4th quarterback taken, and it looks like he has a chance to be pretty good. We'll wait and see. But
big, strong kid, man.
He finished the season on an uptick. Josh Rosen was the 4th quarterback taken overall in his draft, and I believe he was 10th overall. He never had a chance. And I mean that literally from his time in Arizona, Miami, Atlanta, whatever.
He was not the Rosen one.
Brandon Whedon was the 4th quarterback taken the year the Browns picked him in the 20s or wherever he was. Never had a shot.
I liked him.
He looked the size and all that, so he couldn't play.
Nope.
Christian Ponder was the 4th quarterback taken the year the Vikings took him.
Ponder.
Couldn't play. Rex Grossman was the 4th quarterback taken by the Bears in that draft. You know what he was? As average as it gets. Not a memorable career. And then one that does stick out is Dante Culpepper, who had a good career. Not a great player, but had a good career. He was the 4th quarterback off the board. That's 25 years of draft data, 4 quarterbacks in 8 drafts, and 5 of the 7 were mostly forgettable. I'll give you Culpepper, and I'll give you a maybe on Jordan Love. The Falcons hope they can buck that historical trend. But this always comes back to what I say. Look who drafted them. Folks, look who drafted some of these players. The Bears twice, Arizona, Cleveland. These are teams who are always embroiled in chaos.
Screw up franchises.
They are screw up franchises. And what are the Atlanta Falcons typically? So what does Michael Penix have to do? He has to come in and overcome chaos. And he walks in. Think about this. Michael comes in and the chaos is already built in a quarterback controversy. And now they're going to have to answer to when he gets the job, and is Kirk tutoring and mentoring him? Is Michael patient? In this draft alone, 6 quarterbacks were taken in the top 12. History tells us 4 of the 6 will not even be franchise-level quarterbacks. Now, it could be the exception to the rule. There are always exceptions. But history tells us 4 of the 6 will not end up being a thing, whether that's J.J. McCarthy, who was overdrafted, Bo Nix, who was greatly overdrafted, and yes, it hurts me to say this, folks, Penix was greatly overdrafted, which raises what your expectation level is for Michael. Now, what he's got going for him is a couple of years. If everything works out, he doesn't have to play right away. And that is good. Learn the playbook, get comfortable, practice, get healthy, all those things. But history is not in his corner.
When the AFL formed and then the NFL expanded in the mid to late 60s, the Falcons were in that. You realize it was just random, really rich guys. None of whom, almost Al Davis knew football, okay? Everybody else just a rich guy. How did we wound up? We could have had the Cowboys. We could have had the Steelers. Like, we could have had that. Why did this have to be our team?
Mm-hmm. You want me to really answer that?
because it's Rankin made a lot of money. Suck luck. That's what it is. It's suck luck.
Rankin made money in insurance. He bought
our
the team.
Our rich guy was Rankin Smith.
Well, yeah, but it's not like he's the owner anymore. We had a new guy who owned a Home Depot.
Our rich guys now are Arthur Blank.
I'm hoping Penix is awesome. I am. I'm rooting for it. I want him to be at least franchise level good. But if we just go by big boards, Michael wasn't supposed to come off in the first round. Remember that. That does not. Now,
well, we don't know that.
He was everywhere from 24 to 44.
We don't know that.
Okay, I'm going, Chuck.
If the Jets would have taken him at 10, everybody would have said the same thing.
On the Falcons big board, they moved Michael up. But I'm talking about the people that we trust who cover this stuff.
Sure.
I'm talking about Dane Brugler, and I'm talking about Matt Miller.
Yep.
These are people whose boards look very similar to the NFL boards. Penix was in the 40s, 30s, and high 20s for most of the draft process. Doesn't make the Falcons wrong because we don't know how it's going to play out, but they overdrafted him just the way McCarthy was overdrafted. Nix was overdrafted. And all those guys might be studs, expectation gets raised because you drafted him where you did.
If you drafted a quarterback at 8, was it 8, 11, and 12 for those?
That's right.
Okay. If three teams drafted quarterbacks within 5 picks, you can't say they were all 3 overdrafted.
No, they were. They were overdrafted.
That means that quarterback is more valuable to those teams, which is why I'm saying you can't say, they got it wrong.
Didn't say they got it wrong. I said they overdrafted them because on their big boards, if they're being honest, they had these three players in the 22, 25, 30 range, but they're also desperate.
How did the Falcons overdraft if a guy who plays that same position
because
went
they were
3 picks later and 4 picks later?
Because they were desperate, just like Minnesota and Denver. They were desperate.
Which is a comment on the league where you are. So they're just operating in the
I'm not saying that they're different than anybody else, and I'm not saying they're even wrong for taking Michael. All I'm saying is there's a chance Michael's about league average. Right? Talent-wise. He's got a big arm. There's a chance he ends up being league average. That's a lot at number 8 to say I got a league average quarterback. I don't want that to be the case, but there's a world where that exists.
The stat wasn't presented as a direct overlay and a guarantee as to what happens in the future. So I understand. I know how it was presented. It was, hey, this is an interesting number.
Sure.
Not just the 4th overall quarterback, because it could be where the guy was drafted. Now, here's the thing. The two that have been successful, you said Culpepper and Jordan Love.
I said Jordan Love's the maybe, looks good. Culpepper had a good career.
Okay. Those weren't top 4 picks.
Mm-mm.
So you're talking about the 4th quarterback taken, and both of those were actually a little further down the food trough. But it would be if you could extend it out, like quarterbacks taken in the top 8 or whatever it is. And
could be.
So whatever.
But I would also add one final note.
You want like one more level of similarity.
Jordan Love went to a pretty stable franchise. Dante Culpepper went to not a great, and Minnesota's never been great, but they seem pretty stable in different, you know, versions of their head coaches and things like that. When you go to Arizona or Cleveland or Atlanta, you're going to have to overcome some stuff, so hopefully Penix can. All right, coming up, the lottery-winning Hawks, they're about to experience something they have not experienced much in my lifetime. I'll share that with you coming up. But first, there is a situation that could drive what the Braves do leading up to the trade deadline at the end of July.
Yeah, I mentioned this a little bit yesterday, that they deal a starting pitcher, not acquire one. And there are so many names for the Braves. And like I said, it was just a stray comment yesterday, and then I watched what happened on the mound last night. And I keep sort of stilting my happiness or what I'm looking forward to in the postseason, my anticipation of all this, because I keep saying, well, if he can stay healthy and he can continue to perform and it's real with Raylo, for Morton, Sale, and Lopez, all of them, I'm saying, not yet, don't believe it, not sure. But what about if we get to the end of July and they're all healthy and in the honest face-to-face, how do you feel? How's the elbow? How do they like, everything's great. What if the Braves look around and it is those three and Freed and maybe the big kid out of Florida, Waldrop, and A.J. Smith-Shawver and Elder, and they're looking around going, and what is the trade market? There's Verlander who can win you a postseason, okay? After Verlander, what do you have? I think a bunch of C++ options, which kind of looks like Darius Vines or Ian Anderson maybe or Bryce Elder. And so those guys, it'll be Verlander, and then most likely a bunch of that level of guys, they will be commanding prices way above what it should be. What if the Braves look at that and think, maybe we jump in as a seller and we take the increased haul for a guy like that instead of overpaying to get a guy who no way in the world would get a start in the postseason? I'm telling you, this rotation, especially after last night, I'm thinking, at some point, it's okay to get excited and think it might be real.
The only problem I have, well, there's two problems I have with it. Number one, do the math for me. When did Charlie Morton get hurt last year?
Was he the blister or the fingernail?
He was the week before the playoffs.
Yeah.
When did Max have the blister?
Same thing.
When did Spencer get hurt 2 years ago?
He tried to come back for the playoffs.
So these are things that happen right before the postseason. And if you're a team in championship mode, selling at any point for whatever reason, it's not worth it.
But what if it's Bryce Elder or Darius Fiennes or somebody who wants C++?
I'm not worried about Darius Fiennes. I'm saying, like, even Bryce Elder, I can't – do I want Bryce starting postseason games? No. But the last 4 years, that includes a world championship, they have broken at the wrong time with pitching. Even in the year they won the title, they can't be selling any of it. Even if it's surplus, they can't. What they did this offseason sort of surprised me, right? When they started getting rid of the bonus Sorokas and
Kyle Wright
and just a few other, the Jared Schuster, they got rid of all those guys. I don't see Alex doing that. Now, again, I don't think see anybody paying a lot for Elder or Vines or any of those guys, so I don't think it's going to happen either way.
Not Vines, but maybe Elder.
Nah.
And the reason,
but why would you do it? He's cheap. He's nice. He's a fine fifth starter. What do you gain from that?
Because he may be as good as there is after Verlander.
Yeah, but what? No, I don't think he is, number one. But what are they giving you? Like, what do you think you're getting for? Like, I've
more
got,
than you would otherwise.
I've got Bryce cheap, and he could be a fifth starter or a swing guy who comes back from AAA. No, I don't. I'm a championship window team. I'm not moving anything. My pitching breaks in August and September again. I need arms. I need as many dependable. And let's say you did trade Elder. And again, I'm not the biggest Bryce fan, but I think people get too angry about where Bryce is. After Bryce, if you trade him, tell me who gets a start then September and October if you get rid of the guy who's got some experience. Where are you going?
Oh, well, that would be if it's an Ian, if it's a Waskar, I haven't heard a word about Ian or Waskar, either of those guys. Who knows? By September? What was Bryce in September last year? Make the same noise. Can you cut that and make that noise over? That was what Bryce was last September.
I want to add, this is why you can't be my GM. This is why I don't want you in the meetings. I'm adding Verlander. I'm not subtracting anybody. There's no need.
Please.
No need.
I'm in the meeting before the meeting.
Let me know how that
Matt shows up and he gets handed the press release.
Why is Chuck in that meeting already? What's he doing there? And Alex looks at me and goes, he's about to leave. We can now have the big boy meeting.
So. Hey, train.
Reports came out yesterday that tell you what we're about to experience. And for the Hawk fan, you're about to experience something you haven't experienced very much. After the Hawks won the draft lottery on, was it Saturday afternoon? Is that right? Sunday afternoon?
It was maybe Sunday.
So after that happened, all the rumors about the Hawks and what they might do with the pick started popping. Then we gave you the Sham Sharani report about Trae Young wants to talk to management and the ownership about making sure they're competitive around
Matt
him.
Matt heard a rumor.
Then there was the Clint Capella story about the Hawks potentially taking Alex Saar and moving Clint Capella. That's just the beginning, folks, of what's going to happen. The summer of Hawks rumors and the summer of Hawks being relevant, it's about to approach in a way that doesn't happen very often. In my lifetime, I can count three times when the Hawks were relevant and it didn't last. You have to go all the way back to the 80s when they played the Celtics in the playoffs and they nearly pulled off a pretty big upset over a team that had Hall of Famers all over the place, but they lost the series. They couldn't hold on to the relevancy. Then go to 2015. They surprised the world with a 60-win team that had four All-Stars. They were hosting the Cavs in the Eastern Finals. And then by about halftime of Game 1, once Damari Carroll broke, Matthew Dellavedova, and LeBron just said, I'm going to go dominate you, they weren't relevant anymore. They went away. And then what happened 3 years ago in 2021, they make the run to the Eastern Finals, Trae gets the ankle, and they've fallen apart since.
That was a fun 3 weeks.
It was a great 3 weeks, and they were relevant for those 3 weeks. What we're about to experience is something in the way of Hawk basketball that we haven't very much. Between now and June 26th, when the Hawks make the pick, there will be tons of rumors. Trae rumors, DeJounte rumors. There will be tons of talk on what the Hawks are going to do with the pick. Tons of talk on potential trade stuff. Then after they make the pick, and this is, you mentioned this yesterday, when you make the pick at number one, we don't just move on. Okay, there was the pick. We watch the number one. We watch to see if it's an all-time bust Anthony Bennett, or we watch if it's Ant-Man who turns into what he is, or Wemby generational. If it's Alex Saar, there will be eyes on him leading up to the regular season, during the regular season. You're about to see relevance for the Hawks that we haven't seen very much in our lifetimes.
I was minimizing what John Wall was yesterday. I was like, yeah, but he was the first overall pick. John Wall was like really good and always had the ball on his hands, could score and pass and all that stuff. And I was like, yeah, he's first overall. That's because he's first overall.
Yeah, I don't. Again, there's a chance Alex Saar, if he's the pick, just turns out to be good, not great. And that's fine. You can only pick what's out there. Now, what you don't want is somebody behind him, and you can go down the list of, let's say, 1 through 5. Because let's say the 12th player in this draft turns out to be great. That's not the Hawks' fault. They can't go on a limb and take the 12th player. But if somebody else in the top 3 or 4 turns out to be great.
Like Luka went after Aiden, and was it Jaren Jackson?
Yeah, the Hawks picked him at 3. Never forget that. then they traded him to Dallas, who was Trey. Point is, if that happened and there was somebody in the, like, the Hawks have a group of about three or four or five guys they're looking at. That's it. If they stay at one, there's a small group that they will end up drafting. If one of that group that you don't take turns out to be great, that's tough to live down. But outside of that, if Sarr turns out to be what some of the comps are, and in the last 48 hours, we've heard Evan Mobley. Some have done the Chris Bosh comp. Some have done the Jaren Jackson comp. Like, fine, if he's just that good, an all-star level player, and you've got Trey, for instance, with him, that's something. That's something you can build with. But there will be eyes on that kid no matter what for a very long time, which is awesome for the Hawks. They don't have eyes on them very much. And they haven't for decades, which has been disappointing, but it's also their fault. So we'll see what it looks like. 43 days and counting till the Hawks either make the pick or if Tony Ressler is in a meeting now going, how much is the number one pick going to cost us? $58 million.
Future considerations. What does that mean, really? Future considerations. It
means I don't have to pay anybody. All right, coming up, Georgia fans, if you're a little offended by one announcement today, the Kang has some mitigating news.
What up, Hoyt?
Hoyt. Not even here. I saw Hoyt the other day. Did I not tell you this?
Oh, no.
So I was at baseball.
Yeah.
His kids play at the same park. He walks out sporting both their championship rings. The ultimate, like, dad brag moment. It was disgusting. It was despicable. Just walks out with the bling. The kids right by, they're not wearing the rings. Dad is.
Mm-hmm.
That's so Hoyt. Just so he did nothing, he's wearing the title ring.
Living through the kids.
That's exactly right. Where was I? Oh, yeah. If Georgia fans are offended by this one announcement today, Charles will tell you some mitigating news that maybe makes you feel better next. Braves baseball is on the way after Chuck and Chernoff. Braves Cubs game two of their three-game series tonight. Right here on The Fan and The Fan mobile app.
Hey, I'm Chuck. He's Chernoff.
That's
We're
right.
Chuck and Chernoff in the afternoons.
Called it. Think of all the time that would save me. You can listen on FM and 93.7. We have a booming AM signal, too, at 680. And, of course, our 680 The Fan mobile app. It sounds like J.J. Redick is the leader in the clubhouse to get the Lakers job. That's the latest rumor from some of the reporters out in L.A. And you watch his star rise very quickly. Redick moved his way to the first team doing NBA basketball on ABC, and now he could transition to a head coach very quickly of the Lakers. And wouldn't that be ironic that the podcast partner of LeBron James would be the head coach of the Lakers? This also on the same day that Doug Gottlieb became the head coach of Green Bay men's basketball. You think Gottlieb's a little bit, he's like, wait a minute, Redick just... He just got into this media game. He might be the Laker coach, and I'm coaching Green Bay. Just accepted the job today.
Gottlieb has pitched himself for jobs. He's gone public. I want this job, and I want everyone to know. And so he, I guess, throttled down until he got one.
I do like that we're seeing all this media transition, though, into, like, coaching jobs right away. This was something that teams would be so against. What's experience does J.J. Redick have? Really not as a coach. Now we might get the opportunity. We'll see what happens with the Lakers. All right, so if Georgia fans are a little bit offended by one announcement today, Chuck, we'll make you feel a little better.
Yeah, we can mitigate it at least. If you were thinking, how in the hell is Georgia Clemson a noon kick? And then maybe you throw in something about the last time you played a week one noon kick, it was Louisiana Lafayette or Central Michigan or something. That's fine. And my mitigating news is it's not just you. And that's probably the best I got. Here's what's going on. And as Matt had said earlier, hey, we got some kickoff times, and it was college football week one. Now, what it actually was, the ESPN ABC networks announced their kickoff times. If you look at these games, Georgia at Clemson, ABC, Miami, Florida, ABC, ESPN, ABC, all of them. And the goal was to have as much of an unopposed window in the combination of attractive games as possible, since it's only one entity, whether it's ESPN, ESPN2, ABC, folks, many fingers off the same hand. All right. So there's just one thing here, and it's the ABC, Disney, ESPN. Okay. When you have just one media entity trying to distribute their games, that's all they're concerned about. We used to have five. We don't have five anymore. All right. So when I say it's not just you, check the slate of games that day. you'll see that Georgia and Clemson at noon, you think that's way more brand than a noon kick. Well, yeah.
Especially when you read the 3:30 game.
But Miami at Florida, 3:30 on August 31st or whatever.
It's going to be 1,000 degrees, by the way.
As is Colorado State at Texas, which is a 2:30 local kick out there. And then at night, you get Notre Dame at Texas A&M. None of that mattered, okay? What mattered to TV executives, not who were competing against one another, because there was the Big 12 involved and the ACC was involved. No. This was one network saying, let's see, what's going to be the bigger 3:30 game? We're going to say Miami and Florida because, well, Georgia and Clemson, that's a 14-point spread, and Georgia's going to win.
That might be true, but the Georgia brand is much larger than the Miami and Florida.
Huge. That's a better game.
Miami-Florida's not even regional anymore. It used to be national.
But that's a better game.
What is? Miami-Florida?
Yep.
Yeah, it's a closer game. Doesn't make it better. Closer means the two teams who are pretty mid are going to play each other.
But if you can market it as a closer game, that makes it a better game to market.
Tell me how you market that game. Give me three things.
You put it on at 3:30.
Well, that's not marketing it, Chuck. That's putting it on.
No, they declared that. Not me, man.
Right, but that's a decision. Marketing it is, you got to see these two teams. Top 10 Miami, top 15 Florida, top 15 recruiting class in the nation.
Oh, it's the opposite.
Of course it is.
Which coach starts on the hot seat beginning week one? Because either Mario or Billy Napier is going to leave that stadium on fire. So
I blame Clemson for Georgia Clemson being at noon. This is Clemson's fault for being more unattractive over the last couple of years.
Absolutely.
But there's no way this game should be noon instead of – this should be 3:30. Miami, Florida should be your noon
game.
And
if there competition, if there was competition, it would be. And if you haven't – by the way, that's just the slate of games that were announced for Saturday. Remember, Oklahoma's first ever game as an SEC team, you know when that is, right?
I do.
Friday night.
Against Temple.
So, OU doesn't even get like a Saturday debut. They're playing Friday night against Temple at home. Mm-hmm. So here's your big takeaway. Your history, your heritage, and yes, Matt, even your current status, it gets you less of prime TV window cred than ever before, because that's what consolidation does. There are not five conferences who are trying to carve out their weekly kickoff times and, keyword, competing against each other. There are two, folks, and I mean there are two conferences that are paying attention to anyone else. The Big Ten pays attention to the SEC schedule. The SEC pays attention to the Big Ten schedule. They don't pay attention to the ACC at all. They don't pay, not even Clemson and Florida State. They do not pay attention to the Big 12 now because OU and Texas ain't there anymore. You just went from five conferences that legitimately had to strategize and try to stack up their best lineup. So we got great games that would sometimes overlap, but that means you always had at least one truly good game, unlike when they declare it's Florida and Miami, and that's going to kind of be your only choice. That's what happens when you only get two conferences.
So
here.
Let me
that's
ask the other question. Is the rule that CBS used to have, remember CBS had a cap on how many times they would put an SEC team on per season? Wasn't it like four times? I don't remember. It was like four times they would cap you, right? Like they would pick Alabama four times or Georgia four times, they would have a number. Is that carrying over to ABC and ESPN for the 3:30 window? Have you guys heard if that's happening?
No cap.
Because I'm wondering if they didn't want to use one of their spots at 3:30 on this game. I don't know that. I'm just asking. But that was the old either rule or decision or whatever the league made or CBS made that we're going to pick a certain number of games and cap you at 3:30. Maybe ABC and ESPN didn't want to waste one of those spots against Clemson in the opener. I don't know.
So you are declaring that Florida is not good enough for 3:30 in week one. But they will be the 3:30 game in week 10 or whatever that.
Well, I'm declaring CBS might want to save, ABC might want to save Georgia for Texas, for Ole Miss.
For Bama and Florida.
Whatever the case may be. I don't think Florida's going to need to be on there. How many times do you think Florida would be on the 3:30 game?
But Georgia-Florida is always that game.
No, I understand that. So there's two for Florida, and you just said Bama? Are we going to see Florida anywhere else? I mean, I don't think they're going to reach their limit, I guess would be the point. It's still a bad decision. Anyway, it's like Georgia at noon over Miami, Florida. Florida, Miami at 3:30 is just, it's weird.
It's strategized, but it's not just you.
Yep. All right, coming up, Raylo joined Glavin and Maddox on one very exclusive list last night.
Your list of top five big, beautiful woman.
That's it. Crack the code. That was exactly where I was going. Plus, the rumors around the lottery-winning Hawks are all over the place already. We'll share some of those with you next.
Watches and whiskey. Do I have your attention? This is Jonathan Geller at D. Geller & Son Jewelers, and we're celebrating summer and Father's Day with something we've never done before. Next Saturday, June 8th, in all three D. Geller & Son showrooms, we'll have Atlanta's biggest and best selection of new and pre-owned Swiss watches under each of our roofs. And it gets better. With help from Old Fourth Distillery, we're providing complimentary whiskey tastings while you browse. It's next Saturday, June 8th, in all three D. Geller & Son showrooms, Atlanta, Kennesaw, and Sandy Springs. Learn more at dgeller.com.
Looking to escape the city for a unique and unforgettable getaway? Introducing Cloudland at Macklemore, a one-of-a-kind mountaintop hotel in the mountains of North Georgia. Conveniently located just hours from Atlanta, Nashville, Birmingham, and other southern cities. This new Curio Collection by Hilton Resort is a remarkable destination that's close by while feeling worlds away. Find relaxation and inspiration around every corner, like at our world-class Sela Spa, where you're invited to take a deep breath and rejuvenate with our expertly curated wellness therapies. Allow our various dining options to take you on a culinary journey where exquisite flavors, scenic beauty, and authentic hospitality are all on the menu. Immerse yourself in nature's stunning panoramic views on our two championship Cliff Edge golf courses designed by Bill Bergen and Reese Jones. Visit staycloudland.com or call 888-391-1148 to learn more.
This is a 680 The Fan podcast. To hear more live and local sports content like this, tune into 680 AM or 93.7 FM or download the Fan app.
Watches and whiskey. Do I have your attention? This is Jonathan Geller at D. Geller & Son Jewelers, and we're celebrating summer and Father's Day with something we've never done before. Next Saturday, June 8th, in all three D. Geller & Son showrooms, we'll have Atlanta's biggest and best selection of new and pre-owned Swiss watches under each of our roofs. And it gets better. With help from Old Fourth Distillery, we're providing complimentary whiskey tastings while you browse. It's next Saturday, June 8th, in all three D. Geller & Son showrooms, Atlanta, Kennesaw, and Sandy Springs. Learn more at dgeller.com.
Looking to escape the city for a unique and unforgettable getaway? Introducing Cloudland at Macklemore, a one-of-a-kind mountaintop hotel in the mountains of North Georgia. Conveniently located just hours from Atlanta, Nashville, Birmingham, and other southern cities. This new Curio Collection by Hilton Resort is a remarkable destination that's close by while feeling worlds away. Find relaxation and inspiration around every corner, like at our world-class Sela Spa, where you're invited to take a deep breath and rejuvenate with our expertly curated wellness therapies. Allow our various dining options to take you on a culinary journey where exquisite flavors, scenic beauty, and authentic hospitality are all on the menu. Immerse yourself in nature's stunning panoramic views on our two championship Cliff Edge golf courses designed by Bill Bergen and Reese Jones. Visit staycloudland.com or call 888-391-1148 to learn more.
When you buy a used car, don't be taken for a ride. Get Ford Blue Advantage certified at Wade Ford, Atlanta's headquarters for factory-certified pre-owned vehicles. Go to wadeford.com. There you'll find a great selection of Ford Blue Advantage certified used cars, trucks, and SUVs. With Blue certified, nearly all makes and all models are in stock now. You'll find something perfect for just about any budget. Buy with confidence at the Wade Ford factory-certified used car outlet at wadeford.com. Wade Ford, we are Atlanta's Ford dealer.